There are many singers in this world who are very popular, and they are called idol singers, 偶像歌手 in Mandarin. And I'd like to show you a video. What it is like to worship an idol singer. Okay, so hold on just a second and we'll watch a video. This is clearly a teen sensation, very popular singer. It's got whiteness, so it's not very smooth hair, like very smooth hair. Look at the fan. Seem to be out of control and could be dangerous. And the idol singer was dancing and everybody was fanatic about it. Lucky fan will come out and be a souvenir. The singer even kissed her and then she went totally out of control. Go back one slide. The point I want to make is that in this world, many people worship idol singers. The way they worship these singers are like the people who worship idols, according to the Bible. And they were out of control. The object of worship is wrong, and they were out of control. And I also saw videos. There were even crazy events who would run after the singer, and then the singer had to run away from them because she was afraid she might be hurt by the fans. The music has a very powerful effect on people's mind and can make people either crazy or help people calm down. According to research, some music will make people mentally confused, while other music will help people calm down and actually can think better and have better memory. I heard that some of Mozart's music can help people calm down, and some doctors actually use that for therapeutic reasons to help the patients to calm down. But some people might use some of such music in church. Some of these music that drive people crazy in church. In the name of God, adding ambiguous lyrics and the name of Jesus without clearly teaching or praising anything specific about God, these are just like pop love songs. People can be hypnotized by music. So if you use such music in worship, even if you don't have any meaningful lyrics in there, people will go crazy. So when the music by itself has such a strong power of influencing people's minds, it is hard to tell whether people are worshiping the music or the God described in the song. So we need to be very careful when we are using some music in worshiping God, because we are already enjoying the music itself. Even if there's no meaningful lyrics, we are still getting really excited about it, so we can get confused who or what we are worshiping. Worshiping idols and worshiping the true God is very different. Worshiping idols, it is people oriented, people focused. It is for temporary pleasure. Worshiping the true God is God focused for eternal benefits. But we should never compromise truth in worshiping of the true God in order to attract people who worship the idols. Today, from a familiar Christmas story about the three magi, we'll see the worship of Jesus, the newborn king, king of all kings, and we'll learn four principles about the true worship that pleases God. First, we learn that worship is to the true Creator God alone. According to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 2, if you cannot see from the screen, you might need to open your own Bible to Matthew chapter 2. Bless you. It says that in verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Here, if you have studied the whole passage, you'll know from verse 9, verse 11, and verse 16, Jesus was already born, and Jesus was almost 2 years old. Who were the Magi?
Wise men.
Wise men? Okay, right? They were very important and very knowledgeable people from the east of Jerusalem. And I think they were specialists in astronomy, because they could see from a star where Jesus was born. And God told them through this star where Jesus, the King of the Jews, the King of all kings, would be born. I believe God should also have revealed to them that Jesus Christ is not just any human being, any human king, but the Son of God who can be worshipped. What is worship? According to the Bible, what is worship? Worship is the act of paying honor to the true God. According to the original language in Hebrews, worship in Old Testament means to bow down. Someone will fall upon his knees and then touching the forehead to the ground, showing total submission to God. And this is a picture of what worship is like. Total submission to God, to pay honor to God. Because God created us, God is all-powerful, God is all-present, all-knowing, and there are many other attributes of God. Very naturally, when we experience God, we will bow down and want to worship God. Here we have learned the first principle about worship. Worship is to the only true Creator God alone. Nothing else, no one else. Only the true God can be worshipped. According to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 6, it tells us that from the Ten Commandments, people are forbidden by God to worship idols. People cannot worship idols. Anything or anyone who is not God cannot be worshipped. But why is it okay for the Magi to worship Jesus? Exactly. Very good. Because Jesus is God. The Bible says that Jesus is not just a perfect human being who never sinned even once, but he was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit together. The heaven and the earth were created. But in the Bible we see three distinct persons of God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not the God the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible says that there is only one God. This is something that's beyond human understanding. We don't really understand what God is like. But I believe it's because of the perfect union of God's love among the three persons of God. That's why the Bible says that these three persons who are equal in essence, as a result, we only see one God. According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3, I can read that to you. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Jesus Christ made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son is God, and the exact representation of his being, equal in essence with God the Father, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus is not only created the whole universe, but he is keeping everything running so that the planets, the stars will not crash into each other. That's why we're still alive today. It's all because Jesus kept everything running. We should not worship any human being as if they are God. In Acts chapter 14, Barnabas and Paul had to tear their clothes to show that they were just human beings when they used God's given power to heal some people from illnesses. And those people thought Paul and Barnabas, they were gods. So they worshiped them and wanted to offer a sacrifice to them. But Paul said, I am just a human being. You cannot worship a human being. You can only worship God. How about angels? Can we worship angels?
Well, they're not human beings, but they're not God at the same time.
Yes, since they are not God, we cannot worship angels either. People are also forbidden by God to worship the angels. People who worship angels are also doing something against God's will. If you have a chance to read Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 to verse 9, you'll see that John the Apostle, after the angel revealed to him a vision from God, he was so in awe of even the angel's glory. He bowed down to worship the angel, but the angel stopped him from doing that. And the angel said that, you can only worship God, you cannot even worship me. I'm just a servant of God. So to God alone should our worship be directed. Okay? When you worship, you can only worship God. No one else, nothing else. Second, from this passage, we learn that worship is not just a lip service. Our words of worship must match our act of worship in life. Some people said, just talking, talk is cheap. If you just talk about it and you never do what you talk about, then you are not really worshiping God. You are just lying. Whenever you sing a song, oh, I love you, God, I love you, God. When you're out of the church, you do something that shows that you don't really love God, then you have become a hypocrite. And you have lied when you're singing. So some people said Christians lie the most because whenever they sing, they are lying if they don't do what they sing. very serious, okay? So when we sing, we should mean what we sing. Or otherwise, you better be silent. Okay, when you really mean it, you sing it, and you do it by God's power. What you sing. Verse 3 to verse 8. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He heard the Magi saying that, oh, there will be a king of Jews who will be born, or who was already born. He was disturbed because he was afraid that the king, the real king of Jews, would take his place as the king, and he would lose his throne. Not just he being disturbed, but all Jerusalem with him was disturbed. Verse 4, when he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. These people did study the Bible. According to Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it tells us that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem in Judea. And they replied, well, this is what the prophet has written. Verse 6, but you, talking about Jesus Christ, Bethlehem, or it's talking about Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Jesus Christ is the only true shepherd of God's people. Verse 7, go to the next slide. See how Herod reacted after knowing that Jesus Christ, the Savior of God's people Israel, not just of God's people Israel, but actually of all mankind, will be born in Bethlehem. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared to them. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. King Herod's worship is by words only. Why? Because I continue to read this passage and find out that later on he will try to kill all babies under 2 years old, trying to kill them because according to when the star was found, he believed that Jesus Christ should be under 2 years old. So he tried to kill all the babies under 2 years old, in order to kill Jesus. So in his heart, he was trying to kill Jesus, but in his mouth, he says that, I want to go worship Jesus. So his worship was just a lip service. He was just talking about it. What he did was not consistent with what he said. Do you know that many people in this world, they claim to be Christians? Why? Because they want to gain more political support. They know there are many Christians. So if I claim myself to be a Christian, people will vote for me, especially the Christians. Or they know there are many Christians who will look for someone who is running a business who is a Christian, because they believe that Christians are more honest. So some people claim, oh, we are a Christian organization. We are Christians. We do business honestly. So more people, especially Christians, will go to them and do business with them, or to gain more profit for themselves. In the process, they use dishonest methods, although they claim themselves to be honest Christians, but they are not. And they conduct business to take advantage of people, resulting in many people having bitterness against Christians. That's why some people say Christians are hypocrites, because some people who claim themselves to be Christians, they do not act in a way that's consistent with what they claim. And there are others who pretend to be Christians and infiltrate into Christian meetings in order to kill or hurt Christians, because Christians get in their way while they are doing evil things. Whenever they do evil, Christians will point out that's wrong and they don't like it. There was a long Christian revival meeting going for weeks. This is a true story. In revival meetings, people fellowship, and they listen to God's word, and they rededicate their lives to God. And part of the revival meeting was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead, and that we can trust in Christ alone to be saved. The Christians went around distributing flyers in the neighborhood, and they went to a mall. There was a porno shop. Porno shop sell magazines with people not wearing clothes. That's what God don't want us to do. That's sin in God's eyes. We read those magazines. So these Christians were distributing the flyers in front of the porno shop, and the customers were going, planning to go inside to buy the porno magazine. And the Christians passed the flyer and say, "Jesus loves you." And then they were so embarrassed that they would immediately turn back and pretend that, oh, they got lost. So as a result, the porno shop lost a lot of business. And the porno shop owner was really, really angry at the Christians. And the revival meeting on the flyer didn't say when the revival meeting will end, because some revival meetings could go on for weeks. So finally, the business owner had enough. He was not making enough money, not making ends meet, and he really hated the Christians. So he hired a killer, trying to kill the preacher who preached in the evangelistic meeting, thinking that if the preacher was killed, all the Christians would be so scared, they'd just run away and then leave, right? So the killer went into the revival meeting, and surprisingly, everybody was so loving, caring, and welcomed the killer. So there were people who went out to share testimonies how God helped them change their life. Some of them were criminals before. Some of them were drug addicts before. And this killer was so touched that he forgot about his job to kill the preacher. So when the preacher came out to preach, he totally forgot about it, and he was touched by God's love through Jesus Christ to die for all mankind's sins so that they can have eternal life with God. He was so touched. So the preacher asked people, invite people to come out, whoever is willing to trust Christ alone to be saved, come out. So he also came out. So the preacher said, "Are you willing to trust Christ alone to be saved? And tell God your decision?" So the killer was saying, No, I can't. In his heart, he was saying, I cannot kill the preacher. And the preacher said, Yes, you can. Because he was saying, "Yes, you can trust Christ alone to be saved." But finally, the killer revealed his identity, told the preacher that he was planning to come to kill the preacher because the revival meeting was taking the business away from the corner shop. But he was so touched by the people's testimony and by God's love in the gospel message that he became a Christian. You know that today many people are still trying to kill, purge, or take advantage of Jesus by trying to kill, purge, or take advantage of Christians today. And yet, Jesus died even for these people who are trying to kill Jesus, who are trying to kill or purge Christians. They treated Jesus as if Jesus were their enemy, but in fact, Jesus is their best friend who died for them. They want to get Jesus out of their sinful, hopeless life, while Jesus is waiting to give them eternal life and an abundant, holy, and fulfilling life. They got everything wrong. We might not be trying to kill Jesus, but we can be so busy with doing things that it is possible to lose sight of what God is trying to do in our heart and around us in other people's lives. We just focus on what our heart desires, our ambitions, and we forget that God wants to change us, wants to continue to transform us to become like our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and help other people to also know who Jesus Christ and trust Christ alone to be saved, and to also live an abundant, holy life to honor God. Sometimes we totally ignore Jesus in our lives when things get really crazy, without knowing that that was the time that we need to come back to God to regain our sanity. So let us not be like Herod, King Herod, who said he will go worship Jesus in his heart, And his action proved that he was trying to kill Jesus. Let our worship not be a mere lip service. We just talk about it, we sing, but we never mean it. And our life is not consistent with what we sing. Thirdly, we learn that worship follows God's guidance and produces joy. Next slide. Okay, worship follows God's guidance and produces joy. Verse 9 to verse 10. After they had heard the King Herod asked the Magi to go find Jesus and tell him where Jesus is so that he could kill Jesus. So the Magi heard the king, they went on their way, and the star reappeared. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The star from God was guiding them to where Jesus was, to worship Jesus. And when these Magi, they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were so happy. In the past, after Jesus was born, God helped the Magi to find Jesus, to worship him through a star. Today, what God uses to guide us to worship God? Do you know that? Do we still have a star to guide us to the church so that we come to the church and then worship God, worship Jesus? We don't have such a star. Maybe God would give us a star, another star to reveal to us, another revelation. But today, God mainly uses His word in the Bible to guide us to Jesus, to worship Him. If we follow God's guidance, we will experience great joy in worship and in our life when our life produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we continue to follow God's guidance in the Bible to worship God and to change our life according to God's word, to live a holy life, to live by the Holy Spirit every day, pray, ask God to guide us, the Holy Spirit guides us, and we'll become better and better, more and more like our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. God cannot contradict Himself. God does not lie. God always keeps His promises. So anything that's against God's attributes, characters mentioned in the Bible cannot be part of worship. For example, if God is holy, completely separate from sin, we cannot bring sin into worship. That's why we confess our sins in the beginning of our worship service and ask God to help us to rely on God to live a holy life, because God is holy. Whoever comes to worship God must also have their sins confessed to be cleansed, so that there will be no sin separating us from the holy God. And we should be very careful in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do when we worship God on Sunday in church, and in everything we do in our daily living during the weekdays, including not saying any bad words, no cussing, no inappropriate clothes, even posting on Facebook some comments. They should not be inappropriate if you're a Christian. Non-Christians are watching you. But we don't do these things like the Pharisees to make ourselves look good before people. But we do these things because God saved us through Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that we want to live for God, and we want to show other people how good and holy our God is through our lives. I want to give you a homework assignment, especially for the college students who are done with the exams, to continue our worship during the weekdays. But this is not an assignment that, oh, I'm going to do it for a grade or otherwise I will fail. We do it from our heart to help us to understand deeper what it means to worship God according to God's guidance in the Bible, just like the Magi followed the star to find Jesus and to worship Jesus. Think about how we let all of God's attributes to guide us in Sunday worship and our daily living in the following attributes. Typically, you'll say, God, the first one, God is perfect and good. Therefore, what would I do? How I will act that's consistent with God's attribute of perfection and goodness. Second one, God is the provider of all things. Therefore, God is all-knowing. Therefore, you need to do some thinking to finish your assignment. God is all-powerful. Therefore, God is all-present. Therefore, God is eternal and beyond time. Therefore, God is just. Therefore, God is loving, kind, merciful, gracious, and compassionate. Therefore, God is wise. Therefore, God is creative. Therefore, God is patient with us. Therefore, God is faithful to us. Therefore, God is truthful. Therefore, God is organized and in control of everything. God is sovereign. What does it mean to us as worshipers of God? As I mentioned in the beginning, we need to be very careful not to bring the music and the attitude used in worshiping idols into worshiping the true God. God has a spirit of truth, order, and quietness. Worshiping idols and worshiping God are very different. We should not compromise truth in worshiping of the true God in order to attract the idol worshippers. You know what? Jesus also attracted sinners with love, but he never compromised truth. His presence and words always resulted in the turning away from sin, like a woman picking adultery, who was almost stoned to death. According to John chapter 8, verse 10, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they, the people who want to stone you?" Because Jesus challenged these people. If you have never sinned in your life, you can stone this woman. And all these people, first the older people, they realize that they have sinned more than that. And then the younger people. Nobody dared to stone this woman because they could not judge someone if they themselves had done that wrong. So, Jesus asked, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. Here's what Jesus said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus didn't say, "Go now and continue to live your life of sin, but leave now. I will not condemn you, but stop from living a sinful life." In Luke chapter 19, verse 8, another familiar story from the Bible, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, the short one who wanted to see who Jesus was, climbed onto the tree. Jesus went to his house, the house of a sinner, according to other people who were there. How could Jesus go to the house of a sinner? And then Zacchaeus, after Jesus went to his house, being his guest, he feels such honor and love from Jesus. But I believe Jesus also taught him about truth and that he should get rid of his sinful lifestyle. That's how why Zacchaeus responded, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus was a tax collector, someone who was famous for being greedy, despised by people, who would take advantage of the poor people. So that's why he should have cheated many people. But Jesus' presence helped him to turn away from his sins. Although Jesus, because of his love, he never kept himself away from the sinners. So the music that matches and helps us to focus and understand the meaning of the lyrics, which praises God specifically and teaches us about God, are the ones pleasing to God. Any music or song that distracts us from focusing on God is not good worship music or song for us. So here is the big principle. I don't want to say this song is bad or that song is bad. Use this principle to help you to judge. Are you worshiping God or the music or the song? Or are you really wholeheartedly praising God with what the lyrics means that teaches us something according to the Bible about God? But the Magi got it right. The object of worship was to the true God, Jesus. Jesus is God. Their thoughts were consistent with their actions. They went to worship Jesus, not trying to know where Jesus is, and they tried to kill Jesus. But they truly went to worship Jesus. They followed God's guidance in worship, followed the star, found Jesus. They were so joyful in the process. But they were not out of control, as the fans in the video that I showed in the beginning. Lastly, worship is an offering of our most precious to honor Jesus and achieve God's plan. Next slide. Verse 11 to verse 12. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The high point of the Magi's worship of Jesus, the newborn King of all kings, was the presentation of the gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. These are the gifts worthy of the newborn King, to honor the true King of all kings, Jesus Christ. Do you know what gold represents? Has your Sunday school teacher taught you what the gold represents?
Money.
Gold represents money. Okay. Let me show you something deeper into that. Gold represents that, might represent that Jesus Christ was divine or was God. And represents the purity of Jesus Christ, His holiness. How about incense? What does that represent? If gold represents money, what does incense represent? Is it? More money? All you know is money, huh? So, okay. Incense smells good. This represents Jesus Christ's good example in His life for us to follow. And myrrh was used for preserving that body. So it represents sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ for all mankind's sins. So this is a gift that truly honored Jesus Christ and told us what Jesus Christ did, who Jesus Christ really is. So in our worship, when we present a gift to God, either in worship church service or in our life, it should honor God and tell others about who Jesus Christ really is. But besides that, you're right. These things also represent money. That's true. Because I believe these things provided financial needs for newborn Jesus and the family. When King Herod was trying to kill them, they ran away because angel asked them to leave so that they would not be killed. And they went to Egypt. I believe those years they were in Egypt, the gold, the incense, and the myrrh, they should have sold so that they can have enough money, you know, to keep them alive. So the Magi offered their best to honor Jesus, help achieve God's plan of salvation, sustained them while they were in Egypt. It was not just to honor who Jesus was, but also practically help Jesus and the family to survive in order that Jesus could achieve God's plan of salvation. But everything was under God's control, under God's plan. Everything happened because God was the author of everything that happened. God is always in control of everything that happens in our lives. Never think that God is out of control. God is suffering. Last Sunday, when the offering bag was passed to the new young members here of the English worship service, they didn't know what that was for, the offering bag. They looked inside, there was nothing there, because it was passed to them first, or if it was passed from this side, nobody put in anything, so it was empty. So they were curious, if this is a gift bag, why don't I see any gifts? They were puzzled. You will see that back again, okay? I tell you why we have that back. Let me explain a little bit, okay? So yeah, due to our worship service. The back was for collecting money. We talked about money, right? So it's collecting for collecting money. You might not put gold, incense, or myrrh into it, but you probably put US dollars into it, okay? The back was for collecting at least 10% of the 100% of money God provided you through a job, scholarship for students, financial support from the government if you need help from the government because of disability and other health issues, family or allowance from your parents for you. Your parents will give you allowance, right? So you have some money to spend. Some of you don't have any allowance. Then try to talk to your mom or dad about it if you really need. Oh, okay. So that's the allowance. You have to do something, and then your parents will reward you. That's a good teaching, okay, for you. Salvation is by grace. Everything else in this life, this secular world, you have to earn it. So that's the reality of life. But why do we do that? Why do we pass around the bag? Is the church begging for money? Is God begging for money? Was Jesus begging for the gold, the myrrh, the incense? God has everything. But like what the Magi did, we do this to honor God with a practical gift, and that will help to build God's kingdom so that more people will have eternal life by trusting in Jesus alone and worship the true God. You know, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they gave 10% of all the produce from the land, the flocks, and cattle to God to be used to honor God, to acknowledge God's ownership of everything. In a way, it's like, God, you are the landlord, I use your land, and I'm just giving 10% like a rent back to God. But also practically, to meet the need of the Levite who helped the priest in the house of God, where people worship God, and provide for the expenses for running the house of God. And also to provide the needs of strangers, orphans, and widows, those people who are poor, those people who are in need. Is there a command in the New Testament commanding us, Christians, you should give 10% of everything you have to God? Any commands in the New Testament? No, there's no such command in the New Testament. But we should still keep the principle of giving for God's kingdom, even as New Testament Christians. Because the church is now the house of God, and the church does need money. It costs money to just keep the lights, keep the heat running, not to mention keeping the whole building, the chairs, everything, maintaining everything, it costs money. And plus, there are other expenses involved when we teach God's word in love and with truth. We help the poor and the needy. Sometimes they do need money, like what we will be doing this Christmas. I will tell you more in the announcement. And paying the full-time pastors and the ministers so that they can spend all their time focused on weekly preaching and teaching of God's Word so that we can continue to grow in maturity by God's Word. And all that costs money. If every congregation member gets just 10% of what they have, I believe there will be no church that will be struggling for lack of financial resources. Some churches close because the members are not willing to give. So that's very sad. God wants us to be willing to give. You know what? Jesus said, your willingness to give your money for God's kingdom reflects who you really worship. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. When money is all that you think about, you cannot truly worship God. In conclusion, We have learned from the worship of the Magi to the newborn King Jesus Christ, four principles about true worship. First, worship is to the true Creator God alone. Nothing else, no one else, just God, mentioned in the Bible. God the Father, God the Son Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Second, worship is to the true God, and also is not a lip service. We don't just talk about worshiping God. What we say should be consistent with what we do. That is true worship. Third, worship follows God's guidance according to the Bible, and it will produce joy and a fruitful life because we have God with us, helping us. Lastly, worship is an offering of our most precious to honor God, to honor Jesus and achieve God's plan when we give something that meets practical needs. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your most wonderful gift, the perfect gift, Jesus Christ. It is through Him that we are healed of our wounds, we can have eternal life. It is through Him that we can have peace with the Holy God, we sinners. All of our sins now are covered by Jesus' death and resurrection for us. We thank you for also through a familiar story of the Magi's worship to Jesus, the King, the newborn King of all kings, what worship really means. Help us, Lord, because we are absent-minded, we often forget things. Our mind is often too focused on the worldly things, including money and other things. We often just come to church to go through the motion of worship. We sing the songs, but we don't really mean it, and our life is not consistent with what we believe, what we say we believe. So God, help us today through your Holy Spirit, through the most wonderful gift we have received, that we're so thankful we are willing to live for God and worship God the way, God, you want us to worship you. And I pray that when we follow your guidance to worship you, we will have joy and fruit in our life to honor you. And we're willing to give financially for your kingdom. And let us not be slaves of money, but be good stewards of money for your eternal kingdom. And I pray that this Christmas, you will help us to be bold, to witness to people who are still not certain that they can have eternal life through trusting in Jesus Christ alone. May you, the only created God, one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be glorified through us. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.